This morning, we are continuing our sermon series, Guided by the Holy Spirit. It is the third Sunday in this series. And I believe you remember the themes of the past two Sundays. The first theme was true worship. And last Sunday, we thought about true humility. Today, we will be reflecting on true discipleship. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on Pentecost, and the first church began. We are going to look at how the Holy Spirit transformed and guided the disciples in the early church, and think about what it means to be the true disciples and live as his followers today, led by the same Holy Spirit. Today's scripture passage is Acts 4, verses 1 through 20. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Anna, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power, or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heavens given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw this, the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are you going to do with this man?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop these things from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Word of the Lord. In this passage, despite facing oppositions and threat from the religious leaders, Peter and John boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Their actions reflect a deep sense of true discipleship, where they were empowered in Jesus Christ. And guided by the Holy Spirit to speak truthfully and fearlessly. They stood firm in their faith, regardless of their challenges and opposition they were facing. As the religious leaders realized, they were unschooled and ordinary men, but they had become completely transformed. The disciples were now taking the first steps to shake and change the whole world. The Greek word for disciples means student, learner, or follower. Discipleship is the journey of learning about and accepting the teachings and practices of a disciple's teacher. So Christian disciples are those who are chosen to follow Jesus, not just in belief, but to live out that belief in their daily lives. We are Christians. This means you belong to Christ, and His Spirit lives within you. It means the Holy Spirit is guiding you and empowering you to follow Jesus. In other words, you are followers of Christ, called disciples. No one can say, "I'm a Christian, but not a disciple." Each one of you is called to be a disciple of Christ. Not only those in church leadership roles, such as pastors, elders, deacons, or ministry leaders. The call to disciple is for all believers. I'm saying this because some Christians think that it is important only for those in church leadership positions. They think it is optional for them, and they may think about it when they have time in the future. What is your understanding of disciples? Does your definition of discipleship align with your life? Or is there a big gap? If they don't match, have you considered why and asked God to help you grow as a true disciple? Or are you just continuing your life as it is, regardless? Let's explore what it means to follow Jesus and reflect on our heart to see where we are in following the Lord. The transformed disciples in today's scripture passage astonished the Jewish religious leaders. But they were ordinary people like us. Their new life as disciples began with Christ's invitation. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. This passage is about Jesus calling Peter and Andrew. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When Jesus called his disciples, he simply commanded, "Come, follow me." The disciples responded to Jesus' call with faith and obedience, leaving behind their previous lives, professions, and sometimes even family to follow him. Their response was immediate and wholehearted. They were willing to prioritize Jesus above all else and be fully obedient to his call. That is how they started their new life journey as his disciples. Jesus has already called you to come and follow him. How have you responded to that calling? How are you responding to his call in each area of your life? Is his call in the first place of your life? Some Christians always have a packed schedule with their own plans and activities, and add Christ to one corner of their life as a sign of their identity as a Christian. In this case, their primary love is not the Lord, but rather their own disciples and things of this world. When they are busy, Christ is the last one they add to their schedule, and the first one they remove from it. There is no Christ in their schedule until they have room. If the first disciples had not responded to his invitation due to their own plans, or if they had said they would consider his call after resolving the issues they are facing, or if they had answered that following him was currently impossible due to various practical reasons or their busy lives, their lives would have remained unchanged in darkness. God is now calling you to come and follow him. He's calling you and inviting you in the right direction in your relationship with the Lord, with those around you, and in your life. Examine your heart for a moment. Is there any area of your life where your response is not the same as that of the first disciples? Or you need help from the Lord to grow in faith? Unfortunately, the response of many Christians to his call, "Follow me," is often different from that of the first disciples. You need to put the Lord in the first place of your life to start a new journey as his disciples. This is the first step. No one says, "I'm pursuing a difficult life" or "want to be unhappy." Everyone desires blessings, happiness, fulfillment, and an easy life. Everyone has their own agenda to pursue what they want for their life. This tendency affects the way we follow Jesus. When Jesus was on earth, he drew crowds. They followed him because of his amazing teachings and miracles. But many of them had wrong motivations, hoping that his teachings and miracles would fulfill their own desires. When they realized that following Jesus was different from what they expected, they turned away from him. This means that they were not truly following Jesus, but rather their own desires. Even today, many people follow Jesus for what they can get from him. They want Jesus to help their marriage life, heal their diseases, or resolve their financial issues. They signed up for a better life in this world. Of course, it is an important part of our lives, and the Lord indeed cares for our lives. When you pray for help to resolve those life issues, he will listen and respond in his way. But what I'm saying is that the following Christ only for the sake of fulfilling your own desires and needs is problematic. When they believe that Jesus isn't providing the good life they expected, when healing doesn't happen within their time frame, when their lives start crumbling, or their beliefs are challenged, they start following him and turn away from him. The disciples spent 3 years walking alongside Jesus, learning his teachings and witnessing his miracles, but they couldn't remain faithful to him in their own strength and effort. When Jesus faced arrest and crucifixion, they found it incredibly challenging to continue following Jesus. Doing so could have resulted in their own arrest and execution. They were afraid and scattered when Jesus was arrested. Their effort to follow Jesus with their own strength ended in failure. We all are fall short of his glory. If you try to follow Christ by your own strength, you will definitely face limitations and soon become weary. When confronted with challenges, you will end up giving up or falling down. When the disciples didn't know what it means to follow Jesus, he explained it this way. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Jesus carried his cross to Calvary, where he was crucified for our sins. Now he commands us to take up our cross, follow him. It can mean embracing our difficulties or challenges, but it is more than everyday burdens. It indicates the ultimate sacrifice, being willing to die to our old selves in order to follow him completely. In Jesus' time, carrying a cross symbolized a horrific death by crucifixion, not a symbolic burden. The Romans compelled criminals to carry their crosses to the crucifixion site. Today, people see the cross as a symbol of redemption and love. But in Jesus' day, it represented suffering and shame. Jesus calls for self-denial and surrender to God, pointing toward the eternal life over worldly gain. You might think that the way to be his disciples is too difficult. But remember that in the Garden of Eden, we became spiritually dead and we lost our eternal life by pursuing self-centered desires. We still live in a self-centered world. So to follow Jesus, we must go in the opposite direction of death. That is why we must deny ourselves and die to our old selves first. You may still think it is too difficult to be his disciples because we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Yes, that is true, because we can't do it with our own strength. Let's go back to today's scripture passage. When Jesus was arrested and crucified, the disciples hid. Now they became completely transformed. In verse 7, the religious leaders began to question Peter and John. By what power or what name did you do this? Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Peter and John were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and there was no fear in them. In verse 18, when the religious leaders commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, Peter and John replied to them this way: which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what you have seen and heard. They put the Lord first in their lives, denied themselves, and took up their cross by risking their lives to follow Jesus. This was impossible until the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit filled the first disciples and empowered them so that they could continue to follow Jesus in all situations. The same Holy Spirit is working in the lives of believers today. He is your strength, wisdom, and power from the Lord. You can trust him and rely on him. Just as he died to the he did to the first disciples, he will help you put the Lord first in your life. Deny yourself and take up your cross. And he will empower you to live as his true disciples. The Spirit will continue to work through you as you learn from him, live out his words, and bear witness to God's love, mercy, and salvation. sharing the good news of Jesus for his glory in all situations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us to follow you. We want to say yes to you, but we cannot do this with our own strength. We need your help. Help us put you first in our lives. Deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us so that we may live as your true disciples, boldly proclaiming your message and sharing your love with others. May your Spirit continue to work in us, transforming us and equipping us to live out your call in every area of our lives. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord, trusting in your guidance and power. In Jesus' name, amen.